how great thou art. How great thou art. Guys, I'm not that great. On my best day with makeup, I'm not great. But the God who lives in me is. And God who loves is great. God who loves us is great. And I had a doozy of a week. Like if you were to pick, you know, the top five tragedies that people put in the newspaper, I had four of them come across me from a week ago Friday until this. And it just shook me a little bit because there were some people that I actually knew. There's a young gentleman who had committed suicide. I taught his children. And it just rocked me. And not that I did not believe God. It's just, you know, it's just personal. So I don't know if I'm going to make it with mascara today. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't have waterproof on. That was dumb. Okay. Yeah, it's going to look ugly in a minute here. But I heard the Lord as we were singing these songs, how great thou art. And Lord, I believe. I know there's people in here today, because I know we've talked about some really big things in life right now. You've got some big things in life. And God has given mankind wisdom. It's great, you know, and I'm always asking for more wisdom. But there are some things that you go, I think I've used it all up. So for those of you, and if you're in a situation where it's big, it's big, it's big, it's big, I want you to know that God is bigger and that he loves so much that he took care of everything when Jesus came and lived on this earth, died on a cross for us, defeated the devil, and sat in heaven, and he gave gifts unto man. He gave you the name of Jesus, the authority of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. So I want to encourage you, and I'd like to pray for you. You don't have to raise your hand, but I want to pray about some of these things, because this is the prayer, this was my prayer this week, when it was personal. Father God, we come to you, and we look at you, that you are almighty, that you are love, you are everlasting, and God, you're faithful. What you said, Father, you are faithful to do. And Father, there's so much we can do, and then there's the limitations, but there's nothing limiting you today. So Father, we look to you. We say, God, you be almighty in this situation. My job, God, I believe that you are almighty and that you are moving now in the name of Jesus concerning the situations that are personal in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. I'm hot. Does it feel like they put the AC on? You guys are going to love it today, man. I was in here. I'm hot. And I was, alrighty. Let's go a little light here. I want to open up with a story. This is a story about my youngest kid, Cassie, Kathleen DeVita Cashman, a.k.a. Cassie. And this happened when she was about 8 years old. She's actually 28 years old? I don't know. It was so easy when they were in school. I could just tell you what grade they're in. Now, I don't know. But she's in her late 20s right now. She might be about 29 anyway. But she was 8 years old, and we had missionaries in to speak here at church. Missionaries that Jack and I knew, we'd known for a long time. And what was really special about having them, I think they did a Saturday night service, a Sunday service, and then we're going to do a Sunday night. But after church service, my kids got to go out to dinner with these guest speakers. And they're special treasures in my kids' hearts because they got to have dinner with people that go places they may never go, see things that probably you don't want to see, and the love that they have. So we're having dinner with this couple, and they're missionaries to Africa. And they're just sharing more about what goes on in their life and the people that they minister and the great poverty there. So we go home that night, and I'm putting Cassie to bed. And she goes, Mom. I go, what, Cass? And Cass talked nonstop. You're like, what else, Cassie? What else? What else? Okay. So I was like, okay, Cass, what else? She goes, Mom, I'm going to give them all my money. I go, what are you talking about? She goes, Mom, you know our missionaries? I'm going to give them all my money. Now, when you're 8 years old, guess how you get money? Stick your hand in the sofa, birthday money, maybe chore money, you know, whoever just gave them a quarter, stuff like that. So it wasn't a great amount. And I knew Cassie had been saving this money for a specific thing. So I said, Cassie, are you sure? She goes, Mom, I have everything I need. Besides, Mom, there are people that are poor. And, Mommy, I want to make sure they have food. Besides crying, I was smiling from ear to ear, right? So we finally get Cassie to bed, the rest of the bed, and I go tell Jack this story. And we are just our hearts are big with joy, smiling. Because I'm looking at this kid. She gets it. She gets that just what you would say little was what she could give, and it was great. It was great. So we are going to talk about that today. The title of my message is Pleasing God, Generosity. Okay? So we're doing actually a series called Pleasing God, and it's all about living a life that makes God smile. So I thought I'd help you today because I had this in my closet, and I knew if I put another shirt on, I'd be melting. So living a life that makes God smile. Props are always good, right? Okay. So we're going to talk about another aspect of pleasing God, making God smile today. And we're going to talk about us being generous. Us being generous makes God smile. Okay? Now, I believe this message is really important because maybe you're in a financial crunch. And if you are, or maybe you know somebody, you need to understand that God can put his hand on your finances. Yeah. So this should be a good message for you or to pass on to somebody. And equally important is you need to understand what the Bible says about being generous. Guys, there's not just one page in this book. There's lots of pages that talks about God being generous and us being generous and what God does. And it'll make him smile. So when I talk about being generous to God, this is what I mean. There's different ways. There's different ways that you and I can be generous to God. We can be generous by giving to our local church. You can be generous by giving to missionaries and other ministries because they're all doing the work of God. So they're doing the work of God. And when you're giving, it's going to God to help this thing all happen, right? And the other area is giving to the poor. Giving to the poor, man, Jural, God's heart. God's heart. Matter of fact, God takes it really personal, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in a minute. So when I'm talking about being generous, you and I being generous to God, I'm talking about giving to your local church, giving to missions, and giving to the poor. Okay, that's where I'm kind of the three different directions I'm going in today. But there's something really cool, something else that's really cool about when you're generous to God. When you're generous to God, most of the time, people think it's about the amount. It's about the amount. Guys, it's not about the number of zeros. It's not about the amount that you write on your check. Though you can write your checks to YCF. Okay. But I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. That was the wrong place. Alrighty. So the thing about it is God's not looking at amounts. Can you imagine? God is not looking at amounts. God is not looking at amounts. Now, when I get my paycheck from my boss, I am looking at the amount. But we're not talking about your boss. We're talking about God Almighty who loves you. And he is not looking at the amount, okay? There's a really cool story. Why don't you open up to Luke? All right? Luke chapter 21. So if God is not looking at amounts, guess what he looks at? The percentage. You get to write that on your piece of paper. You ready? Generosity is about percentage, not amounts. God's looking at percentage, not the amount. Okay, this story is going to explain it to you, alrighty? Alrighty, here we go. The Gospel of Luke, Jesus is writing, and Jesus is in the temple, which is actually the church in their day. So he's in the temple. He's actually in the outer court. So let's say he's out in the foyer, okay? He's out in the foyer, and he's people watching. Have you ever gone to some place the mall. I haven't been to the mall in ages, but back in the day when the mall was the mall, you go people watching. Anybody like to do that? I love watching people. Well, Jesus is watching people in the outer courts, and he's watching wealthy people put their money in the bucket, okay? He's watching people put money in the bucket, and he's, this is my interpretation. He's like, oh, this is a really good teaching example. Yep. You know, I know Pastor D is going to be teaching on April 2nd, 2017. So I'm going to put this story in here so that she has something to teach from. And you get it, right? No, but it is a teaching example. And Jesus is trying to get a message to us. So here we go. Let's read it. It's in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. Just then he, Jesus, looked up and he saw the rich people dropping offerings in the collection plate. Then he saw a poor widow put in 2 pennies. Okay. He's going, aha, teaching moment for Pastor D. All right, now let's read the next part. Verse 3. The plain truth is that this widow has given by far the largest offering today. What? Okay. At this point, his disciples they're hanging out with him, by the way. They're with him. They kind of are like his shadow. He's with his disciples. And he makes that statement, this widow has given far more than anybody else today. And that just blows their minds away. Now, most of you, it doesn't blow your minds away because you sat in my children's ministry and you've heard this story about 10 times. How many of you have heard this story before? All right. So you and I are just like, well, no big deal. But guys, pretend like you're hearing it for the first time, okay? Pretend like you're hearing it the first time and just imagine Jesus is in the temple and he's watching all these people, especially, by the way, he loves rich people. Raise your hand. I love rich people, right? I love you. I like you to be my friend, okay? Jesus loves rich people. Praise the Lord. Okay, and he's watching these rich people put coins into the bucket. He's watching them put 500, 1,000, 10,000, 50,000. He's watching them put coins into the bucket, right? He's watching the wealthy people put money in the bucket. And then he watches this poor widow lady, okay? She's what? Poor. She's a widow. She's probably on a pension, right? Okay, and he watches her, and what does she put in? 2 pennies. Okay, 2 pennies, yeah. Don't get to the punchline. Okay? Gee whiz. All right. Then Jesus says, she gave the largest offering that day. Now, you're thinking, Jesus, you're crazy. What were you looking at? All right? Jesus, that's not true. The wealthy guys gave more, right? If you're watching, that's what he is. But this is the thing here. God doesn't look at it from an accounting standpoint. He's not looking at what she gave from an accounting, okay? Alrighty? So Jesus is looking then saying, she gave a bigger percentage out of her resources than the wealthy people. She gave a biggest, matter of fact, percentage out of her resources than all the wealthy people. So praise God. So that's why God, generosity is about the percentage, not the amount and the zeros. That's generosity towards God that makes God smile. All right. Now the last verse, verse 4, he says, all these others made offerings they'll never miss. She gave extravagantly. I love that word. Say that with me. Extravagantly. I love that. Okay. What she couldn't afford, she gave her all. So we've got this poor widow woman gave a percentage wise bigger than all the wealthy guys. And Jesus says she gave the biggest offering of that day. Okay. So listen, those wealthy guys that are dropping in 500, 1,000, 10,000. Okay. They're not going to, it is not going to affect their life by that, the end of the week. Those wealthy guys, right? They're not going to have, at the end of the week, they're not going to have to sweat it and worry, gosh, how am I going to fill up my car so I can get to work? They're not going to be going, oh my gosh, I wonder if I have enough money to go grocery shopping. Those wealthy guys dumping in those big amounts did not affect their life, did it? Not one bit. God looks at the percentage. God looks at the percentage, not at the amount. Okay, so say that. God looks at my percentage, not my amount. So we're talking about generosity to God. We got a couple of students here. I see Nevin. Any other students? So they're probably all downstairs. How many of you remember way back in the day being a student? High school, college, Bible school. Okay. Pretty much students struggle. Pretty much they're poor. I can remember just digging for coins to do my laundry. Because when you're a student, and I went to a college over here at your college and then out at Bible school, I had to hit the laundromat. Okay, so I remember being poor. Anybody else kind of in the poor range when you were a student? Gosh. All right. So, but the really interesting thing is, and not so much because I didn't know who Jesus was. I didn't receive him into my life personally till I was a senior in college. More so when I was in Bible school. You know when I learned how to be generous towards God? When I was poor. When I was a student, you know, I just learned to be generous and to give whatever I could. That's where I was learning being generous. Just give whatever I could. And as opposed to some people and maybe students would say, you know, well, I don't have that much and I'm a student and I'm poor and I'm struggling and I need money for doing laundry. So I'm just not going to give until I'm not a student. No. This is where you learn. This is where you learn, like Cassie. Learn with what you have. Just give the percentage, okay? God's not looking at the amounts. How many of you are on a fixed income? If you don't know what that is, you don't got it, okay? Fixed income. I've had a lot of people come up to me that are on fixed incomes, and they'll say this a lot. Pastor D, you know, I don't have a large amount to give. Pastor D, back in the day, you just wait and see. I had a lot of bucks, but I can't give a large amount. And you know what I always tell them? It doesn't matter. God's not looking at the amount. He's looking at your percentage. Just be generous to God on the percentage. He is not saying, well, you know, back in the day, you used to put in hundreds of dollars every week. And now, you know, you're just pitiful, you poor thing. You're on a fixed income. Don't even bother. What are they going to do with it? No, guys. God's looking at your generous heart towards him, the percentage, not the amount. Now, for all the rest of us, the in-between, I raised four kids. Jack and I raised four kids. That probably was dumb, four kids, you know, diapers, shoo. Then we went to milk. Oh my gosh. Then we went to playing sports and equipment and music lessons. And then we went to the orthodontist. Expensive, expensive, expensive. Okay. And then by golly, they went to off to college and then they were getting married. Guys, it was expense after expense. All right. Anybody have some expenses raising kids? Shoo, baby, okay? So you have all these expenses, but you know what? God understands. You are not, you know, like, oh, to God. He understands what you're going through. And all he's asking is if you would just be generous in a percentage. That's it, okay? Because that orthodontist, man, what are they up to now? What, $3,000? $5,000. Whoa, that's a mouth, I'm telling you. So again, generosity has to do with the percentage, not the amount. Generosity has to do with percentage, not the amount. You should be going, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. So the big thing I want you to get when you walk out of here, and it's really simple today, ready? The big main idea is generosity makes God, yeah, generosity makes God smile. Okay, now, why does it make God smile? This is the coolest thing. When we are generous to God, God smiles because then he can pour out on you. Isn't that amazing? He just likes to bless the socks off of you. Okay, so when we're generous to God, he smiles, and it's an avenue that he gets to bless on top of you. So let me prove to you that God smiles. Let me prove to you God smiles. Turn over to Philippians 4:18. Philippians 4:18. Philippians 4:18. I'm going to give you the background while you're getting there. Paul is imprisoned, in Rome, and he's writing to this church. Okay, he's writing to this church in Philippi. And Paul actually helped start this church years ago. And he's turned it over to Aphrodite. And now Paul is in prison. He's in prison not because he stole anything, not because he killed anybody, not because he wrote bad checks. He's in prison because he was telling people about Jesus. That's called persecution. Okay, in case you didn't know. So he's in prison, and the church that he helped start in Philippi, they're, oh, by the way, being in prison back then is not York County Taj Mahal. It's pitiful, okay? So he's in prison, and the church wants to be generous to Paul, which really means they're being generous to God. So the church in Philippi could take up an offering to help Paul while he's in prison. Now, prior to that, Paul was always taking care of himself, but he needs some help. So they take up this offering, and Aphrodite is just so thrilled and excited, and he takes this offering, which is them being generous to God, to Paul, and Paul's writing a thank you letter. How many of you know what a thank you letter is? I hate writing. I'm going to do it. Okay, so he's writing a thank you letter. Now, he's writing a thank you letter to the church and thanking them for being generous to him, which is really being generous to God. Here we are, Philippians 4:18. I have received full payment and have more than enough. Whew, that must have been quite an offering, right? I have ample supply now that I have received from Aphrodite the gifts you all sent. They are a fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. All right. So Paul's saying, hey, guys, the generosity is like a fragrant offering up to God. All right. Now, for most of us, that doesn't make sense. But I'm not Italian, but for every Italian, this is what it means. Italians, you walk into a house and they are cooking garlic in oil. Oh. I love that smell. I'm not Italian, but I love that smell. They love that smell. It's like a warm comfort smell, right? All right. So what Paul is saying, hey, today, by the way, when you gave in the offering, when you were generous to your local church, that was a fragrance up to God. All right. That's all he was saying. So when you're generous to God, he smells it like something really, whoa. Oh my gosh. It smells so good. They're so generous. Okay. That's how you look at being generous to God. And that's how he looks at you. And by the way, guess what he's doing? He is smiling. He is smiling when you're generous to him. Okay, now the last part of that verse, it says, pleasing to God. When they gave their generous offering, he said it was a fragrance to God, smells really good, makes God smile. And then it says it's pleasing to God. What do you do when somebody gives you something that you really want that's really pleasing? You smile. Say thank you. Give them a hug and a kiss, okay? Listen, if you do that, when you're generous to God, God's doing the same things. He's excited. He's smiling because you were generous to him. Case in point, God smiles when we're generous, okay? So now I'd like to give you three reasons why God smiles. And really, I came up with six. But I love our nursery workers downstairs. I love our children's ministers. And I'd probably keep you like another hour. So I decided I'd give you the top three. Okay? Amber's smiling because she's been down there when you're with these kiddos. Praise the Lord. All righty. So why does God smile? Reason number one, because our hearts are in the right place. Because our hearts are in the right place. Okay. Why did Jack and I smile when Cassie gave her money to the missionaries to feed the poor? I was like, oh my gosh, my kid's got it. Her heart is in the right place. Right? And actually, I thought, man, she is way ahead of me. It took me a long time to look at percentage and be generous to God instead of me, me, me. What am I going to get? What am I going to get? My kid got it by the time she was 8 years old. Isn't that great? Okay, so it shows that our heart is in the right place. Our heart is in the right place. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm off track, but I'm on track. You can have stuff in your life, guys. Fill your garages with stuff. I always said, if the toy didn't fit in the garage, you're in trouble. So when Jack bought that airplane, I thought, oh my Lord, we're in trouble. You can have wonderful things in life. God wants you to have wonderful things in life. He doesn't want you being poor. You can have nice clothes, nice shoes, nice car, okay? Just make sure that you've got your generosity also towards God. Really, first towards God, okay? Praise the Lord. By the way, is it fun being poor? Anybody want to be poor? Gosh, good, good, good. We got a smart bunch here. Okay. Look over at Luke chapter 12 now. We're going to give you a scripture here. Luke chapter 12. Remember, God smiles because our heart is in the right place. Luke 12, verse 34. Wherever your treasure is, there, the desire of your heart will also be. Okay. What is treasures? What are they talking about? Well, W.E. Vine says treasures are your resources. Anybody got some resources? Yeah, you got resources. Anybody have your wealth? It also means your deposit. I like that one. All right. So he's simply talking about where we put our money. Such as giving to the poor. Where we put our resources. We can give to the poor. We can give to the work of God. That's what he's talking about there. And Jesus says, man, when we are generous to God, to the work of God, our hearts are actually in the right place. Our hearts are in the right place. Okay, object lesson. Who wants to be my other part here? Who wants to be God? What? You don't want to be God for the day? Oh my gosh. Nevin, you're my first person. Stand on the step. Hook on here. Gee whiz. You are kids at heart. Man, I'd have kids downstairs. Go stand up one. Kids knocking each over. I get to be God. All right. All righty. So this is what he's saying. Your treasures, your resources, when you are generous to God, you have a connection to God. You keep a connection to God. Okay. You just keep a connection. There, look, it's hooked in. My treasures, where my heart is, I'm giving towards the Lord, giving to the work of God. It keeps my heart connected to God. That wasn't hard. Okay. I might do this one later. I don't know. Don't trip, Pastor D. Your track record isn't good on that. Okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. So when you're generous, it's going to cause you to be more excited about the things of God, the things that God loves, and it just keeps your heart in a good place. It keeps a good place. Let me give you an illustration about this. Probably about 15, 20 years ago, my grandmother passed away. She lived to be 103. Isn't that bananas? 103. Now, her brain kind of checked out towards the end, but the body was great. Okay, so after she passed away, she was distributing her inheritance to her siblings, and my mom had already passed away, so the grandchildrens from my mom received part of the inheritance. So I received an inheritance from my grandmother, and she gave us some money, and she gave us some stocks. Now, before, I just knew a little bit about stocks, the stock market. Okay, I just knew a little bit. I never looked at it. I really could care less. But then, Grammy gave us some stocks, right? And you know what we did every day, Jack and I? We are looking at the stocks every day. Every day we're looking at them, okay? We're watching them, okay? And you know why? Because then I cared about them. I was connected to those stocks, all right? So we finally got to the point where we sold them. They're actually penny stocks. It wasn't a whole lot. We cashed in. After I cashed in, guess what? No. They were actually old companies that were being, hadn't made the evolution to the new technology. So we didn't cash in with too much, okay? But you guys aren't supposed to know that. So after we cashed in, guess what happened? I never looked at the stocks. Yeah, that's where we're going. I didn't care anymore, right? I didn't care anymore. Why? I didn't have a connection. And all God is saying, where your treasure is, where your resources are, when you keep them and you're generous to God, you have a connection in a good place, in a good place. So being generous to God keeps your heart in a good place. Amen. Praise the Lord. And guess what God does? Ta-da, he smiles. All right. Reason number two, why God smiles when we're generous. He smiles because he can really bless your finances. He can smile because he really bless your finances. Okay. I love to give gifts to people. Now, first off, I don't like to shop, but I like to give gifts to people. Internet is amazing. Gosh. Okay. And let me give you a story. 3 years ago was the last time all my children were home for Christmas. It was a big deal. I've been making cookies the whole month and freezing them. I mean, I was over the top excited. All my kids are coming home. So in my household, now that they're older, they like to sleep in. What do they do when they're little? They are up at the crack of dawn, you know, and we're like, wait, we're in bed, wait. So they're sleeping in. I make this big breakfast and I go to Twin Pines. I'm advertising. They make the most incredible breakfast sausage, the small ones. So much so that Joy, I buy an extra pack, we freeze it, and she takes it back to California. A bad confession is there to die for, but we live for, okay? So back, no, we don't say I have to die for. That's so bad, bad. Okay, so I make the big breakfast, and then we all sit around the living room, and we start opening presents. Listen, I love shopping the whole year, and I am so excited that they're opening my gift. And the next person, I go, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Oh, wait, you got to see what you got to see what's in this one. And they're looking at it like, wow, what's the matter? No, guys, I am excited to bless them. Anybody get like that? I hear grandparents are that bananas, all right? So I just get so excited to bless them. And that's how God is with you. Guys, God loves to bless you. He smiles. He gets excited. He loves it when you're generous. God loves to bless your finances. Amen? Underline that one. So let's look at Luke 6:38, praise God. I can just see God up in heaven going, oh, smells good. They were generous. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I'm going to bless them. Okay, that's what he is. All right, y'all at Luke 6:38, here we go. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full. Whoa, I like that. Pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. I love more, 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 more. Okay. Running over. You know, when it's running over, that means God's given you more back, that it's running over. Just a little side thought. And pour into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Alrighty. There are verses about God blessing you all through this Bible from cover to cover, guys. Old Testament, New Testament. God just constantly will bless. Alrighty. But I have to tell you something. When I teach verses like that, I go, God, I have to be very careful. So I will pray, God, there's a fine line, and I want to be on the line when I share these types of scriptures. Because if you are not hearing correctly, you think you're going to give so you can get. Right? You can give. You're only giving so you can get. Guys, you're off the line, okay? And I also don't want to bring people to where I actually, when I teach scriptures like this, and I've been in services like that, all right, where you're actually manipulating people to give. You want to tick God off? That's what ticks him off, okay? Manipulating people by their emotions to give, okay? God doesn't like that. I don't like that. So I always pray, Lord, there's a fine line here. I thank you that you will give me words to teach it correctly. All right. Now, the other part about this is, you know, being careful on how you teach it is, the other part is that it's God, Lord, it's in your word. It is in your word. This Luke 36, right? I didn't cook it up. God did. It's in your word. It needs to be taught. We shouldn't neglect it. All right. So I go, God, I obviously see that there is a principle about you wanting to bless us because we've been generous. So there's two sides to that. One, be careful you're not, you know, working on people's emotions. And two, there is a truth to that. God loves you so much. He loves you guys. He loves you. He's promised you an abundant life and he wants to bless your finances. So praise the Lord. Matter of fact, look at, they don't have to put this up. Look at Proverbs 19:17. Proverbs 19:17. This is amazing. I love it. Your being generous makes God want to bless you. When you're generous to God, God will bless your finances. Proverbs 19:20. He who gives to the poor, you are lending to the, and he will repay. Okay, wait a minute. We're talking about the poor. Okay? This is amazing. Poor are really special to the Lord's heart. You give to the who? You give to the poor. All right. So I didn't say save the whales. Okay. Now that's cool. But give to the poor. Sorry. I know. I the Lord said, shut up. Don't say that. And I said it anyway. I'm sorry. Okay. Back on point. Okay. The thing is that God loves the poor. All right. He doesn't just say, oh, you're poor, tough, sit in the poop. God loves the poor and he wants us to help them. Gerald should be doing backflips. That's the ministry there, okay? Okay? So he's saying, when you give something to help the poor, I said something, doesn't always have to be money. You just help them out. When you give something to the poor, God's making a promise that he's going to make a loan to you. And by the way, he doesn't default on loans. Sorry, I'm filing bankrupt. I'm not paying up. So he says, you give to the poor and he will repay you. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. Okay. So that's how much God has a heart for the poor, right? And as a church, we try to help the poor. We have a benevolence committee. Okay. That's sort of what that means. We also support Harvest of Blessing, which is all about blessing and helping the poor. Okay. And it's you guys being generous that helps us help others. So thank you very much. All righty. So Luke chapter 6, what's God saying? I want to bless you. When you are generous, I just want to bless you. I want to bless the socks off of you. Okay. Now, sometimes when we give, God will bless us maybe with a new job. Sometimes when we give, God will bless us with a promotion. Sometimes when we are generous to the Lord, God will bless us with, buy your dinner. Somebody will buy your dinner. I love that, all right? Sometimes when we're generous, God actually blesses you with monetary, with money, right? Someone gives you money. Sometimes when you're generous to God, he will bless you with his hand of favor on your life. The hand of God's favor on your life. Okay, I know you love me and you guys are really nice to me, but the hand of God's favor on my life. That's pretty amazing, right? Praise the Lord. So I think that's really cool. Praise the Lord. Somebody got excited. All right, last one, number three. The third top reason why God smiles when you're generous is we transfer wealth to heaven. What are you talking about, Pastor D? Well, it's like God saying, I can't wait, but live your full life, but I can't wait till you get to heaven, because up in heaven, there's all these treasures that I have for you. Right? Okay. Now, how do you have treasures in heaven? By volunteering and serving. Those are just some easy ways. How do you have treasures in heaven? By you being generous. Generous to your local church, generous to missions, generous to the poor. There's lots of ways that you have you have treasures in heaven, okay? Turn over to 1 Timothy. I'm going to give you a good scripture. Pastor D, slow down. Okay, I'm going to take a drink. Shoo. All right, 1 Timothy. I have to get there. Oh, I'm going to cheat. I have my cheat sheet here. Sometimes it's just, depending on how big the font is, it's easier to print it out. Okay, number three, we're transferring wealth to heaven. What makes God smile when we transfer wealth to heaven? 1 Timothy 6:17. All right, Paul is writing this letter to this pastor named Timothy. Actually, Paul started this church. It just blew up. It was an amazing large church, and they're going through stuff because when you get a bunch of people together, there's stuff flying, right? We're all just so nice and kind to everybody, and there's all sorts of things going on in church. So Paul writes him this letter. Paul's in prison, and he's writing Pastor Timothy this letter. Paul also knows that Timothy is going to read this letter out loud. Because guess what? They didn't have this printed in beautiful form with the red letter edition yet. So whenever Paul wrote a letter to a church, they were standing up and reading it. Praise the Lord. Okay? And in the letter, Paul says, "Hey, Timothy, let me address the very, very wealthy people." So it was a thriving church. It was a large church. They had a little bit of everything, and they must have had a bunch of wealthy, wealthy people. And the reason why is because God knows that when you're talking to somebody who's really, really wealthy, and you say, "Hey, God wants you to be generous to him and to be a giver, and he will bless you," that doesn't motivate them. Think about it. Why? You're all be 2 years old. Why? Because they have everything, right? They have everything. They've got an abundance. They're very, very wealthy. They just break something, they go buy a new thing. Okay? So Paul is writing to these very wealthy, he's going to address these very wealthy people. All righty? So we are in, where are we? 1 Timothy 6, 17, and 18. "Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud, not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable." Yeah, you should have been around here in 2008. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Verse 18, "Tell them to use their money to do good, they should be rich in good works, generous in those in need, always being ready to share with others." Okay. So he's telling them, "Hey guys, all you guys that are really, really wealthy, that you just have so much and you really, this isn't motivating you, that God's going to bless you." He still tells them, "You need to be generous to God. You also shouldn't be trusting in your wealth. You should not be trusting in your wealth, and you need just to be generous," okay? Verse 19, let's get down to that. Verse 19, "By doing this, they will be storing up their treasures as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life." Okay, guys, what is he talking about there? He's talking about heaven. He's talking about treasures up in heaven. And he's encouraging them, "Hey, what you give down here, be generous and give while you're down here on this earth. But what you give down here somehow gets transferred up in heaven." And guys, I don't get it all. I'm like, wonder what it, okay, poof, goes like that. I don't get it all, but this is the word of God. And he says, it's transferring treasures for you up in heaven. So when you give generously to the Lord, to the work of the Lord, right? He says, you're laying up treasures in heaven. Pretty cool. Now, just imagine, think about this. You know, that little widow, poor lady who gave her 2 pennies, okay? I bet Jesus was going, "Oh my gosh, here she comes. Look at the big amount of treasures that you have stored up, because I saw your percentage, not your amount, and you probably have more than all those wealthy guys because you understood it was a percentage and you gave out of your resource." You did just see Jesus doing that. Looking. No, so it's just only Pastor D that does like that. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. I am just tearing up today. I'm so excited. Can't read my print here. I don't know where you are. Praise the Lord. Let's just wrap up here. I want to challenge you because God likes to challenge you. I like to take a challenge. Anybody like to take one of those challenges? Okay, but let me give you a challenge from God. I believe God wants to challenge us to grow in our generosity. Just grow. Remember, he didn't say, oh, you got to put more zeros on everything. He just says, look at your percentage and the challenge is to grow. All righty. Did you notice that we took the offering before the message? Aren't I nice? Because I wasn't going to manipulate people's emotions after this, right? I don't want to do that. It doesn't please God. Matter of fact, it really ticks them off. All righty. So turn over to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to give you one last scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. I believe that God wants to challenge all of us, you know, even if it's just a dollar more, to grow in our generosity, right? Okay, you're over at 2 Corinthians 8, 7. I'm not. Here I am. Whoop. Okay, 2 Corinthians. This is again Paul. But just as you excel, he's talking to this church here, just as you have excelled in everything, in faith, in speech, that means telling people about Jesus, right? You've excelled in that. In knowledge, man, you know your Bible. Woo! Okay? In complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. Okay. So what's Paul saying? Hey, guys, we got a little inconsistency going on here. You guys are really great. You have excelled. You're top of the class when it comes to sharing about Jesus, when it comes to loving everybody, when it comes to studying your Bible and knowing your Bible. But you have not excelled in giving. Right? Did you see that? And he's saying, your giving is just as important as all that other stuff. Your giving is just as important. Right? So God's challenging them to grow in their generosity. Real simple. Okay. Now, I will have to tell you, I still work at this. I think I'm doing much better, but there's a lot of people like me. I can get into fear of my finances. Anybody else get into fear of your finances? Right? All right. But you know, this is what I've noticed. God's putting on my heart, God's dealing my heart to be generous. When I am generous and I give to the things of the Lord, that just breaks the fear of my life. Just breaks the fear of my life. Now, it doesn't mean I'm emptying out my checkbook, guys. Okay? But if I'm, all of a sudden I'm like, I don't know. And I just sow something, be generous in an area, whether to the poor. Okay? Can I tell you a story of how bad I was and where I'm getting? Joy and I, 2 years ago, we went for a weekend at the beach, and we're driving home, and we're in these little tiny towns in Jersey. There's no big highways to get from the shore here, and we're at this stoplight, and there's these firefighters on the corner, and they got firefighter boots. Was that a boot? Is that a real thing? And they're standing and wanting offerings for the firefighters, and I was like, I'm ready to just keep going. Joy punches me in the arm. Mom! I go, what? She goes, Mom! And I'm like, I'm in my other zone. She goes, Mom, your Uncle Dave, your cousins, they're all firefighters. What? I was just stupid, okay? Because I'm on a mission. We got to get home. I got a 4-hour drive here. You know, so I've had to ask the Lord, God, show me places, open my eyes to places that I can be generous, okay? Joy nailed me one time. I'm in D.C. when she was living down there. And they had some homeless people, and they're standing on their corner. And one was a young guy. I'm just telling how bad I was. I'm getting much better. And I was like, I had some not edifying remark. Are you kidding me? This young guy, he should get a job. What are you kidding me? He's got two legs. The other guy's in a wheelchair. I can understand giving him money. What? Bam! Joy punches me in the arm. Mom! I go, what? She has a generous heart. I've had to grow up in it. I've been challenged by God. I'm just telling you my laundry here, okay? I'm a real person. I've been challenged by God to be generous. So I take the challenge. Anybody going to take the challenge? Praise the Lord. All right, moving right along here. You know, when I am generous to God, I realize God sees it. Nobody else has to see it. God sees it. My God is smiling. And now I know my God's going to be blessing me, and I'm laying up treasures in heaven. Real simple. End of story. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, If you were to ask me, oh, I'm going to squeeze this one. I can do this. I can do this. Okay. If someone were to say, hey, Pastor D, how can I be more generous in my life? Well, you obviously know the areas I need to be more generous in my life, right? You just heard it. And I am. I'm growing in this. But one, I would tell you, if you wanted to be more generous in your life, be generous in your local church. Wherever God has called you and planted you, by the way, you don't hop, skip, and a jump every Sunday to a different church. That's not God's plan. You're supposed to be planted in a church. It's called the local church, wherever God calls you. Okay. So the local church is where you get fed. The local church is where you're being taken care of. Your kids are being taken care of. The local church is where you get help. The local church is where we marry you and we bury you. That's the local church. Okay. That's your local church. Okay. That's your local church. And the local church really is, how do I say this? The local church, I wrote this down. It was so cool. Now I can't remember what I wrote. Oh, here you go. That was so good. You know, I get these little, the local church is God's expression on this place, in this community. So God has local churches all over the place. Amen. All right. How else can I be, take the challenge and grow in my generosity? How about giving to the poor? Giving to the poor. Okay. My pastor friend Mike in Ohio does this. I thought, piece of cake. How many of you have a jar where you break a dollar and then they jump change in it? Actually, I have two different places in my house. Well, his church did this, and I thought, we're going to do this for Harvest of Blessing. This will be in the back. Only thing, I couldn't cut a hole in it. So somebody take the thing home. I was like, it wasn't doing it. So giving to the poor. Harvest of Blessing, the ministry is about giving to the poor. Now, we support them, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but how many of you dump money, you know, in a bucket, and then later someday, I don't know. I remember one time having, like, this big, heavy bucket, and I was like, golly gee whiz, then you got to go to the grocery store and dump it in, find out how much cash you have and stuff like that. But what can I just challenge you? This is going to be the, what I call it, the drop, and it's giving for the poor. It's going to be in the corner table there, and it just dump your extra, and we're going to give it to the poor. Now, YCF, we support the poor. We give to the poor. We have our benevolence. But this is just a real easy way that you can maybe be a little more generous. Okay? What we call it, my friend calls it his sock money. He puts it in a sock drawer. Okay? Well, this is the drop drawer. Okay, you can put it back. Jason, you're going to cut a hole in this thing for me. Take this thing home. You should have seen me. And then you can put this in the back. Okay. Jason's a contractor. He can dig it. Oh, a reciprocating saw. That would have done it. Probably would have cut the thing to smithereens, right? All right. Don't let me tell. I think. How many fingers do you have left, Pastor D? All right. Guys, in the day and the age that we live in, we actually have more and more people who are in need. It is. You think, you know, we're a prosperous nation, but just even our school programs that feed kids breakfast and lunch, you'd be surprised. No, you're not surprised. You're very knowledgeable. So that's something little you can do, all right? And then don't let joy punch you in the arm. Ask God to open your eyes to see all these things, okay? Praise the Lord. Last thing that you can be more generous in, missionaries. We at YCF support about 5 different missionaries. Some of them are local. Some of them are worldwide. I actually know them. I have hung out with them. I know their work. I know their fruit. I know it is a good place. So YCF, out of the tithes and offerings that we receive, we give a portion to them, and we divide it up to them. Back in 2008, it was a little tough around this nation, wasn't it? Economy kind of got squished, and people were losing jobs. People in our congregation lost jobs. There were cutbacks. So therefore, our givings, you being generous to your local church, was going down. And I was talking to Cassie, who actually has this big tug on her heart for missions. And I said, man, Cassie, I don't know if we can pay our missionaries. Boom, 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 boom. She goes, Mom, we take care of our missionaries. And then I tell Sherry, boom, 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 Mom, we take care of our missionaries. So that was the year that we used to pay a company to cut that lovely lawn, that hill, which you pray in tongues as you go down that hill, okay? We brought it in-house because we were going to take care of our missionaries. I have not regretted it, okay? And you may be, I've even get on the lawnmower every once in a while. Okay. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to do this today. Okay. So we have missionaries, and we do take care of them. Bob and Mary Holland, they were here around December. Who remembers them? Okay. man, I love Bob, but Mary, you get her up and she tells a story. Woo-hoo-hoo! 3 years ago, they're our missionaries. We've been supporting them for 25 years in Jamaica. And their ministry actually has evolved based on when that economy went south. People stopped giving to them. So they had to change how they did ministry. So what they do now is they have an after-school program. They take kids in the neighborhood. They get out of school and they go to Bob and Mary's. They have a deck. They call it something else in Jamaica. And it's an outdoor deck. And they help them with their homework. They have a Bible story. They feed them. And then they send them back. They also do a summer program where it's like, I don't know, 6 weeks of Bible school, VBS, something like that. So they've had to change ministry because people stopped giving to them. And then when the economy recovered, they just forgot who they were. So good thing I love them and stuff. So probably 3 years ago, Mary called me up. She was, Pastor D, would you consider praying about YCF giving to a conference I'm going to hold? There are ladies in Jamaica that are pastors. They work full-time jobs. And they pastor churches. I mean, they pastor churches. And I'd like to have them come and have a conference for them where they get fed. And actually what happened is she has a good friend who owns a villa. And the lady donates the villa for that weekend. It's a long weekend. No, it's during the week. It's during the week because they have to go back to church. The lady donates the villa for the week. It's got a swimming pool. It's right next to the ocean. And Mary brings in guest speaker ladies. She actually flies in some of her friends from the United States to come to Jamaica just to pour into these Jamaican ministers, these ladies. Just amazing, amazing. So I'm waiting for my, and she usually sends me an email like around February. So I'm waiting. I got our email. I'm like, goody, goody, goody. You all get to be generous to our missionaries to help these ladies. So we did that this year, again, for the third year. And then Mary said, Pastor D, this year God put on my heart to ask these women pastors in Jamaica if they would like to come to the United States, because every year in April, I go to a ladies' conference for ministers, a ladies' ministers' conference at Lancaster at the Worship Center. And she said, God put it on her heart to bring, and there's probably about eight of these ladies. The ladies have to raise their own airfare. So they have their airfare, and we actually are providing the villa. What do you call it? An Airbnb? Is that a song? How do you spell that? Yeah. I thought it was Airbnb. Anyway, it's like a bed and breakfast, but it's a house they rent for the whole week. So we actually gave money this year, $600, to help them cover the costs for those ladies, that they'll have a place to stay in Lancaster where they're going to get fed. And then that Sunday, April 30th, guess who's coming to YCF? Not Bob and Mary, sorry. Two of her pastor ladies. She says, who do you want? I said, I don't care. Give me your best. I don't care. They're all your best. I don't care. So they're going to come and minister here. All righty. Now, my mom finger. They have a Jamaican accent. I'm just going to warn you. All right. And if you think I talk fast, maybe they talk faster. Just go, God, give me the translations. But they are powerful women of God that have ministered not just for a year. They've not been pastoring for a year. This is a new thing. They've been doing it for years in tough times and great times. And they've got fruit in their ministries. And Mary said, Dee, would you like to have them come? And I hesitated. And then Sherry went, bam, bam, bam. I hesitated because people have complained. Well, I don't understand what they say. They have an accent. Just fly a kite and ask Jesus to interpret, right? Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. All right. Praise the Lord. So we are taking a challenge. We can grow in our giving to our local church, giving to the poor, giving to missions. If you would like on your offering envelopes on the other, once a month, just say $5 for missions. Then we can raise what we give to missions. Just tossing it out there. All right. Just the extra. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if you have toes that are sticking out, stick them in. Okay. Some of you may be here and you don't give consistently. Can you take the challenge? Ask God. He deals with your heart. I don't care. I don't care. I care about me, what I do, but I don't really care about you. I do. That counts bad. Sorry. That sounds so bad. Okay. Let me look at my page and not at you. All right. But could you just say, Lord, speak to my heart on the percentage that I give and I will be consistent. Okay, now, the rest of you, there's a whole bunch of you that are consistent. Thank you, Jesus. I know you're consistent. All right? Just ask the Lord, Lord, would you like me to grow in this amount? Okay? Or this percentage, excuse me. Woo-hoo. Said the wrong word. Okay? Praise the Lord. As we grow, God smiles. Let's bow your head and pray. Pastor Nee, before you put your foot in your mouth. Father God, I did my best to reveal your word to you. Father God, I just thank you that I really believe I did not cross the emotional line in presenting that we are generous to you. And you smile and you look at ways to bless us. Father, I pray that you challenge all of us. You speak to our hearts. It's you who challenges us, Father. It's not about me. It's best about them and you. And I thank you that everybody has ears to hear today where they need to be challenged. Praise the Lord. Still in an attitude of prayer, eyes closed, heads bow. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor D, you know, I don't even get this heaven thing, let alone being generous and treasures in heaven. Like, you're like way over the top here, Pastor D. Maybe you're a guest. Maybe you've been here a couple of times. But you're saying, God, Pastor D, I don't understand this eternity thing. I don't understand it. Can you just listen to me for a second if that's you? I am not asking you to join YCF. Great place to be. I'm not asking you to join a religion. I'm not asking you if you were raised in church. Okay, I'm not asking if you've been water baptized as a baby or an adult. Guys, those are all great things. But that will not bring eternity into your life. Praise the Lord. Okay, that doesn't mean that you know Jesus personally if you've done all of those things. So I'm asking you, really, have you ever met Jesus personally? Have you ever asked Jesus personally, Jesus, I need you, come into my life? Now, if you did, guess what? You'd know it. You'd be excited. You would already know it. So if you're not excited, that's probably who I'm talking to. So what I'm asking is, can you remember a day or a time where you prayed and said, Jesus, I believe you're the only way. I believe and I make a decision to follow you. Can you remember a day or a time? If you'd say, Pastor D, I don't think I've ever done that. Matter of fact, I know I've never done that, but I'm ready right now today. I'm ready to have Jesus personally come into my life. I'm ready for God's best in my life. If that's you, I'd like to pray with you. And the rest of you guys, we're going to pray out loud. Okay? So you pray, if that's you, and you've said, Pastor D, I'm ready to make a decision for Jesus to be the Lord of my life, to come into my life, to change my life, to bring his gift of eternity. You just pray this out loud. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to run down, but you could tell me later. That would be really nice. And the rest of us, we're just going to pray with you. So everybody say this with me. Father God.